Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO podcast host. I'm here with Nick Leroy, who doesn't need much of an introduction. If you're in the SEO space, some of you are literally working your jobs because of his work on SEO jobs, and apparently now some PPC folk out there have their jobs thanks to him. He's an SEO freelancer who's been in the space for quite a while. Excited to jump deep in, but I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell the folks what you would say you do here, Nick.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Jared, thank you for the invite. I'm really glad that we could make this work. And I don't know if I can say nicer things about myself than you just did. So you did a great job. But my, 2-minute flex is always just, hey, I'm Nick. Been in SEO for, I think it's 16 years now. The first 10 years was agency side, through a couple different jobs. And then I've been out on my own for the last 6 years. As you were also kind enough to share, I've been very vocal about my experience, switching jobs, being fired, trying to find jobs. And that really led into the passion project that is SEOjobs.com. And I think we all still to this day can say we've been on the LinkedIns, we've been in the Indeeds, type in SEO with, remote or your area. And the first thing we get back to this day is always like, the Java developer that contains a bullet that says SEO knowledge, nice to have. And so I ultimately built what I refer to as the site that I wanted when I needed it or after I needed it.
That's fair. I'm curious what your take is for freshmen that are coming into SEO in this day and age, what you're saying as far as when you're putting up, getting these postings, what the feedback is of people who are applying for this, like what's the state of play of the hiring side of SEO right now?
I think that's a single word is ugly. And what I mean by that is not just like SEO is dead or nobody's getting a job. Like that's not true. But where we are now with the combination of so much remote work, AI, and if I'm being completely honest, just kind of greediness, like we're in a situation where it's a buyer's market. We have never had until this last year or two, this situation where the demand for SEO talent being lower than the stock of talent that we have. That's how a lot of what I used to call C+ SEOs were getting 6-figure A+ salaries because it was just they needed to fill, the seat. And now that, AI is kind of making these entry-level jobs almost irrelevant, it's now turning into, okay, well, there's a lot of talent available, but because I have the upper hand as a hiring manager, it's how can I pay you less? How can I demand more for less? And it's become very difficult. I'm going to try desperately not to go too deep into it, but there's two things specifically that come to mind that is kind of separating the SEO world right now. One, I would just say the soft skills are what matter and differentiate you now. I always ask people that reach out to me, Jeremy, like, cool, you're looking for a new gig. I know you've been there forever, but what makes you stand out? And if I'm in a crappy mood, I might even say, what makes you special? And more times than not, the response that I hear is, I've been in SEO for 20 years. Cool. Tell me like something else you do. Nick, you don't understand. 20 years. And it's just like, wow. Okay. What that tells me is that your expectations are going to be sky high for salary, that 4-day work week, full remote, max work-life balance. And we're not in an economy right now that you get to kind of demand those things. But what's making people stand out is kind of passion projects, how you're able to communicate And I think that there's an art of persuasion with SEO that a lot of people simply don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to kind of that second point where I think things are struggling is, you know, Jarrett, you and I, you've been in this for like 20 years. I've been in for darn near 20 years. We remember what it was like to have an internet connection, a Twitter account, and like SEO book and Moz. I mean, that's kind of like where we started. And if you weren't curious, you know, you didn't learn. And if you didn't learn, you didn't get results. We have a newer generation. It's not necessarily their fault, but this generation that I'm kind of identifying from like 2015 to 2023, maybe, they came in and SEO had been kind of structured. Because how many times have you been told, it's like, okay, welcome to the team. We want you to start off by reading the Moz Guide to Learning SEO. And then we're going to basically walk you through how we do SEO, which I, you know, say in a not so nice way. It's just like, that's the checkbox SEO. So what SEOs were required to do at that point was less about how you present it, that critical thinking. It was, how quickly can you execute tasks?
Yes.
And that was your value. Because yes, up until recently, those best practices, for the most part, could show positive ROI. Like nothing that's like hockey stick or crazy. But so what it's left now is a lot of SEOs that are gifted in the tasks. You know, I know how to do image alt tags. I know how to do titles. I know all of this. And AI is doing most of those, if not all of those, better, quicker, cheaper. And what that leaves is SEOs who now don't have that skill set that truly makes you valuable, which again kind of goes back to that first point of, you know, how are you communicating? With AI, things are only more complicated. So how do you take SEO where it was, where it is, and AI, and you know, we'll just kind of sprinkle that it depends all over the top of it. But it's like, how do you talk to someone in the C-suite now? They already don't really care about SEO, but now you're going to start talking about, you know, index rates and crawl budgets and the LLMs and your MCPs. Like, nope, you've already lost them. So that's a very long-winded way to say that, like I said, the market is ugly. And I don't think people looking to hire always understand, or maybe their job descriptions just don't show what they really want.
Yeah.
Because we're all kind of defaulting to what you used to expect from like a job description. And then again, because individuals were, you know, building their career, getting accolades, getting raises by doing checkbox SEO, they haven't really been encouraged to, you know, network, think critically, build a side project, you know, all these things that are deemed kind of extra. But right now, the people with large networks and share their opinion, those people aren't struggling to get work.
Right. That's fair. And it is a changed game. I'm having a lot of conversations. You know, I talked with Brett Sklar, who said AI isn't taking your job, it's taking your tasks. But if your job consists of just completing tasks, then yeah, you're in danger. And so that definitely, I've seen that at different, at places where I'm consulting right now, a couple of different teams where I'm working and hooked in on, like, there is such an advantage right now to handling those tasks that they, what used to be, you know, hours of an SEO's time of like custom writing, you know, it's embarrassing. I got paid like more than $1,000 to write meta titles and descriptions because they insisted they be bespoke. One person really look at these pages, load each of them and write it. That's gone. You know, and, you know, good riddance like for me from
mapping.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the problem hasn't gone away, but you can do it so much smarter. Like, I'm literally in my Claude Code instance that's open in the background here. I'm working with a new client, and it's mapping right now two different WordPress instances. One has the blog section, one has the main section. It's looking at the logs for it and comparing and then finding what are relevant to it. And it's going to give me a suggestion while we're in the middle of this of, hey, here's some redirects based off of what we chatted about earlier of our goals. And I'm like, okay. That's hours and hours worth of work turned into, you know, a background function while I do something else.
Without a doubt. And that is the conversation that I'm having with all my consulting clients, as I'm sure you are as well. You know, I write in my SEO newsletter, The SEO for Lunch, every single week about this concept of an easy button and how everybody wants to unleash AI so that they can kick their feet up and automate their job, but they still get the paycheck at the end of the day. And as you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, I've been a big advocate for what I call like human-led, you know, AI. And it's just this idea of like, AI is fantastic. And we have already talked about these type of tasks that you and I close our eyes and just kind of shudder at the idea of like, I remember mapping 5,000 URLs one by one, like in a spreadsheet, you know, and now they can reasonably do that. Now, the biggest problem with AI, and you might agree, is it does those tasks, but you and I may get the value, like the full value, because we can spot when it's providing you garbage. Yes. And what I mean by that is with 20 years of SEO experience, it's like if your meta descriptions are coming out with 812 words and they're writing them in French, you know, it's like it's probably not, you know, what you need. And the issue is we have leaders and in organizations, we have SEOs, and they want at face value to just say, hey, AI bot, do SEO. And they don't know enough to be able to like stop it from doing good or bad, I guess.
Yeah, it is a lack of, it's the wanting the easy button, but the easy button, you're talking to a yes man. You know, Claude is an ultimate yes man. It will confidently tell you something wrong. And even if you push back, it might persist that it's right, but if you like, you almost have to argue for yourself. I've taken several, you know, detours of creating, you know, backlink research. I'm working on kind of understanding if anchor text functions the way that we think with a sample of data. And I came back to it, wasn't paying attention, did it in a separate instance, and it didn't have access to the actual data. It came up and accessed for a small segment of just my own sites and made up results confidently. And I was like, it's the shape of what it needed to be, but it lacked the substance and it lacked the context, the knowledge of the data pool of like, hey, he means this, you know, that this pull from data from SEO for 200 sites backlink information. Well, he asked for us to do this at 25 sites. Yeah, I guess this is the context. It just made it up. And, you know, it's that level of it's artificial intelligence, not artificial wisdom. Absolutely. And so SEOs need to adjust to a world where we can deploy additional intelligence, but we need to show that we have the wisdom to apply it and confidently ship that in those conversations to our paying clients, to our bosses, and also, you know, do what we have always done, which is clear the landmines of false expectations. And it is harder to argue against AI, directly. It's one of those catch-22s of like, the more you deny something, you've put it into your own voice, but I don't think we have an option. You know, like in a human conversation, you know, you can just say, I said what I said. But with AI so confidently wrong, you know, you'll get, you know, a clawed, get clawed hopped by a client and they'll like, oh, hey, I did this great thing. And here's 40 pages of, you know, white text on a white background that I want deployed on the site. I talked to ChatGPT, asked it for like shortcuts and tweaks and exploits that could reasonably work, and I totally overrode what it said. And you know,
I totally get it though. But you're right. I think that's the problem though, and you nailed it, is people are looking at AI as a like 100% solution or 0%. And that's my whole basis of this whole like human-led AI. You know, yeah. It's like, why, you know, I even wrote a post about it. It was something along the idea of like, when did 25% efficiency not become good enough? And the idea was, you know, Jerry, if I came to you 5 years ago and said, hey, thanks for showing me like your whole process, I have some ideas and it's going to save you 25%. You probably just roll your eyes and be like, yeah, probably not. You're selling me some bullshit. Like, this isn't going to work well. And now we adopt AI. We are able to use it as something that's a complement to our knowledge and historical information. But maybe it only, you know, makes things go 50% faster. And now in this world, that is deemed bad. And that just blows my mind. And I mean, I literally am like waiting to hear the C-suite like laugh or joke. And it's like, no, they're serious. I don't get it. And the last thing I'll say about that too, though, is like, I've been in a very unfortunate situation where I've had leadership come to me and be like, you know, who can I cut from my team because we're going to be, you know, using AI. And I refused to get into those conversations. I was like, I'm not going to be responsible for somebody not having the money to feed their kids. But I do challenge them. I say, I understand that payroll is the number one expense for basically everybody. But why, instead of a one-time P&L boost by, you know, firing a bunch of people, don't you realize this as like opportunity costs? Like, instead of cutting your team in half, what about you won't have to hire again until the output of that team is doubled?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm trying to challenge it. And unfortunately, maybe I don't get business, you know, enough. I'm far more passionate about SEO than I am the perfect, you know, business strategy. But, you know, it's just like, there's a little bit of humanity, I think, that just, you know, you can invest in, you know, get more from what you used to have versus the 100% solution.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head of that's, I've been in that C-suite room when I was a customer support manager, and they said, you know, we need to reduce our biggest line item is human resources, and our most expensive resource is Johnny Camacho. And you know, he's just got to go. I'm like, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face and save some money because he does the work of four other reps. Like, and you pay him just a quarter more. And they had to hire him back. Like, the team struggled so badly, then they had to hire him back in the next cycle and give him additional benefits and reassurances that they weren't going to do that again. So, you know, and that was before.
Get a map.
Yeah, and that was before AI. So right. The instinct of C-suite to make human resources cuts has always been there. It's just now there's a convenient oversell. I mean, there's so many link bros. There's so much. Every single platform, every single message that C-suite receive is, oh, AI can do this now. AI mm-hmm. can deliver. But I see a little bit of the patina wearing off, because last December, I was genuinely worried about the state of SEO overall, because C-suite was totally bought into it. But now we've had, you know, more than half a year, two quarters for things to not exactly materialize when it comes to the raw numbers and the prediction of, oh, you're going to get so much output from LLMs. And, you know, there's going to be so much workflow savings from adopting these. You know, I don't think that, you know, AI has on the whole proved to be the excelsior that it is, you know, claimed to be, like, but it is transformational, you know, and it is transformational for my work, for SEO, for my clients, my projects, my podcasts. Like, I couldn't possibly have put out 140 podcasts in the past year without the extensive assistance of Claude Code and helping me, you know, contentize each transcript afterwards and get everything done. Just the fact that Riverside FM as a studio, it's got editing, it's got AI clips. I can, you know, everything in it has a layer of some AI influence capability. But, you know, so it's a weird world where, you know, you're in some ways like we're kind of replaced, but in other ways, as my last guest said, SEOs are almost needed more than ever.
I share your exact sentiment and the individual you talked to previously, because I was in the same situation. You know, you may know, you know, AJ Cohen. Yeah, I chat with him a couple times a year, you know, just kind of run ideas, think with somebody who I've always, you know, valued opinions on. And I told him, this was probably like maybe the beginning of Q2 of last year. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't believe in SEO is dead, but for one time, like now is the most I've ever been concerned about my skill set being irrelevant tomorrow. And it didn't help that, you know, for 2025, you know, I started right out of the gate with getting some really good leads and like some, it would be really great work. And like, I kept losing them. And I don't mean to say like I'm awesome, but normally if I'm losing work, it's because of two things. Somebody has come and promised the world for half of the price that I told them they could have it, you know, or it's inaction. Yeah, it's like they just talk to too many people. But all that to be said, like I had taken L after L after L, and it's a combination of everybody just like, you know, going lower than the next person. Or I just wrote a blog post about, I had one company that was open to paying me the $5,000 minimum that is for my retainers. And their solution instead was to pay $99 for an AI platform because they were told it will do everything. And I think that goes back to what I was mentioning about, you know, 20-30% efficiency. You know, it's like, we want AI to do it all, and it's being sold as this complete 100% easy button. So I won't speak for you, but you know, I want to sit on the couch and make a ton of money while doing nothing. Like the idea is great. I don't believe that it's possible, but you know, especially when you're not knowledgeable in a particular field, and you have more than one bro telling you how it can be automated overnight. Like I understand it, but I'm just surprised at how surprised people are when they get like the egg on their face. And Jeremy, the final part you mentioned too, like now that we are a good like 2 years into mainstream like AI adoption, they're not seeing the results. And like you said, it hit like content writers hardest and first. And then I would say as it started impacting SEOs, I started seeing content writers starting to get hired again. And then SEO got hit really hard. And then, you know, I would say that year later, kind of where we're at now, people aren't getting those results. The people that are truly adopting AI as a 100% replacement strategy aren't seeing it. So to your other guest's point, I do think that we are in a space where people that have our skill set, and as I mentioned at the top of our call, are able to communicate appropriately. Like, we've never been more valuable than we are right now.
I'm curious what your take is, with the state of Google. And, if Cohn had shared something, I think one of his last pieces was, it's Goog enough. what's your take on, the state of play in Google? Because I just spoke with Giselle of HouseFresh, which was, they had that big hit. They were, doing the what was supposed to be the right thing for reviews and being like an honest arbiter. And they even got crushed with everybody else that got crushed in HCU. Thankfully, she says, it seems like, she didn't want to change what she was doing because what she was doing was right, but Google was not right. And it's like all of these consultants are like, no, you move. But it's slowly coming around for her. What are you seeing as far as trends in actual Google results? Any facets or directions that are of note that you've taken notice on?
So I think that's a great question. And I am kind of doing my public like eating crow, because I was one of those people that told Giselle like right to her face and be like, no, like your sole purpose was to make money off of reviewing. It may or may not have impacted, your actual review itself, but without being compensated, for that content, you would not create this site. And, we were kind of debating back and forth, and I just basically told her, I was like, no, like you got hit. Like that's how it works, move on. And then, they moved to their YouTube strategy and arguably had more success with YouTube than they were previously with Google. And then I think they get to that point, and I always say the number one SEO strategy is basically make Google look stupid if you don't display in their search results. Yeah, blast from the past, but it's like, Jeremy, you might remember JCPenney and BMW, both penalized and removed from the SERP at one point in time.
Yeah.
But what kind of user experience is it when you type in BMW and like, hobby blog, comes up. So that's always my kind of strategy now. And it's easier said than done. But I think that Giselle and team had essentially done that. Like they built a lot of trust, through that YouTube platform, was able to build that audience. And while Google may not specifically say like, you made us look stupid by not being found in Google, inherently, when you have all these metrics, showing quality signals on their sister platform, YouTube, but then you are literally like no showing on their search results. Like, I think that is the best way that she and team could have approached that, because you can't argue with Google. They don't care about any one particular instance. I make it known, but then pivot and basically prove them wrong. And, she had done that. And so I always make sure now when we have these type of conversations that I say, you know what? I was kind of pigheaded and I made a statement. And, it's like sometimes we all learn and grow from our mistakes. And that's my end. Going to your other question. So like, how is Google shifting? What is kind of standing out? I think that I am in the minority when I think the search results are better than they've been previously. Now, that is me as a consumer, a web user. I really like AI overviews. I also feel like someone with your knowledge, our industry's knowledge, we can bypass it when we know what to expect. I think Lily Ray was the one that had called out way early when it was like SGE that, Google wanted you to add glue to pizza to keep the cheese on there. It's like you have that base knowledge of like, no, eating glue is bad. Maybe I'll go check that safety label one more time, but that is bad. But there are a lot of searches that don't need to go to a website because it's either a calculation, a snippet, a quote, a source. And I hate it as an SEO, but what we all just have to remember is like traffic was never the raw goal. It was just kind of what we built as a secondary KPI when that traffic wasn't yet converting on the site. So I have stronger opinions about how SEO in a bucket like isn't the value that it used to be, because it's really just that larger, you know, strategy.
It needs to be what more integrated.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where I was kind of going is, you know, I wrote another post that was like, finally, you know, SEOs are allowed to sit at the adults table. Because,
right,
you know, it's like the C-suite, I don't care if anyone can, you know, tell me their, you know, CEO, unless they were previously an SEO, like gets like search. So, but now it's like AI came the shiny object syndrome and that's all they care about. And whether AI should live in SEO or engineering or wherever, that's a whole nother conversation. But you are the most qualified person in the entire company to have an opinion on something that doesn't have a definitive right or wrong answer. And I also, you know, I talked to Kevin Indig and, you know, we were talking about how both of us were leveraging AI to get like Jira tickets that we've had filed for like years with our clients. And as soon as you could tack on to that, you know, okay, when we do the site architecture change, that's going to help, you know, AI discover as well as like Google discover it. You know, and I think back in the day when ChatGPT was doing like Bing,
yeah,
you know, as Bing discoverability. And it's like the second you added AI to any like legacy SEO task, it became top priority. So there was this world where it's like, I got to catch up on 3 years worth of tickets because of the excitement. Now, I think where Google is kind of going the wrong direction, if you will, is we already talked about AI kind of being like a, you adopt it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I think AI mode is the 100% solution. You know, removing AI overviews is the 0% solution.
Yeah.
I don't think where we're at now is like the perfect solution, but I don't really like the idea that it's, we have to gun for one or the other, because there's a lot of resources that I have learned over the years only because I searched for something and had never seen them before that, you know, and then joining to a newsletter and all this kind of stuff. But I'm happy from an SEO perspective because we get to have that seat at the table. SEO is more integrated and requires, you know, activity and support around many other channels to win now. But the last thing I'll leave you with, because I know I'm being very long-winded today, is for me, like the one thing that I love telling people and it pisses them off and I'm all for it is like, Google is doing a much better job. I said that I think the search results are better because I've always believed that if you had a good product or service, that the reflection should be good results in Google. Now, I'm not saying that technical SEO doesn't matter. We all know that does. I'm just saying that inherently, when you have super fans, they talk on the internet, which leads to inbound links. And Google should be able to do that. You know, if we're talking about electric scooters, whichever brand is the one that my kids insisted on is the one that's been showing up on the internet the most. And then when we looked for them, you know, they showed up at the top.
Yeah.
So it's a lot less about manipulating Google and, you know, doing tactics, which we talked about, to trick Google, or as we have all said, oh, we're doing this for the bots. It's really about how do you take the knowledge of how Google works, how AI works, like with these LLMs, and integrate it to make your business better.
Yes.
And that is where I'm excited, because it's like you see a lot of people just thinking they're owed these organic clicks. And my argument is you need to diversify, because if your company is reliant just on Google, you're in trouble and you're double. So if your product or service sucks and you've just been, you know, buying some links, you know, doing that white on white texting background.
Yeah, that came up in a panel I ran with Patrick Stocks, Ben Wills, and Ben Sinescu, of, you know, one of the best things that you can do to improve your Google rankings is to fix the problem with your product that is causing the negative reviews. You know, part of that is having a function for social listening, for reputation management. I think of what's happening with AI and SEO is this way, is I haven't seen a single thing stripped away from SEOs as far as like functionality. Everything that we do can impact it, but there are these ancillary areas where it's been kind of cordoned off. I'd helped with like reputation management once or twice, or helped, okay, oh, hey, we should drive some more reviews, but it really owned somewhere else. Or customer support really had its own aspect. And, you know, the sales and PPC landing pages were a separate function. Well, bad news bears. AI Max is going to analyze your small business site and find pages that are live right now to send as landing pages. So if you haven't optimized your site, you're not going to get the PPC result out of the box that you thought that you were going to get. And, you know, if you're not retooling your campaign now, that's going to be mandatory by, I think she said, in February of 2027. AI Max is going to be the default out of the box, and it's going to be harder and harder to get it to land on these unbounced pages or customized landing pages that aren't indexed. And so that's a golden opportunity for us in SEO niche to cross-pollinate and to get approval for budget. Hey, man. PPC has been separated from us, but we have the same goal to optimize this site as PPC does. So let's use that, you know, let's collaborate on this budget, you know. And, you know, the same with the community building aspect that you talked about too. Like, you know, let's look at organic as a bigger picture than just Google. Like, how can we build community elsewhere, like Giselle did? She made YouTube, but she also made, you know, a subreddit and interacted honestly and faithfully there. Like, what are the other places that you can find audience at? Those are legitimate things. At some point, we just siloed ourselves to being glorified Google optimizers, but search is now everywhere. There's search facets in Amazon. There's search facets in all kinds of platforms that you wouldn't expect. So stop narrowing yourself down and look for additional organic.
Jared, I love everything that you're saying. I have so many thoughts, so hopefully I can structure what I'm saying here correctly, but there's just a couple key points. The last one that you said about, you know, search used to be basically viewed as the Google ecosystem. Now, Google search is a part of a much larger, you know, ecosystem. And the best example that I have yet to have an SEO that hasn't resonated with this is every SEO ever gets asked, hey, are videos good for SEO? And then we all kind of go, oh, well, you know, it's not about the video itself being embedded in the content. It's going to rank in, you know, YouTube, which is not going to show in your analytics. But, you know, if you do, you know, create a kick-ass video, you know, then you could get more attention on your page. And, you know, it's just kind of this like, you know, oh my gosh, I was doing like the 6-7 thing. But, you know, so now this idea of, well, if I'm not going to see the direct results via my Google Analytics report from my site, like nobody would do anything. The idea of being out of Reddit, like no CMO like ever has understood the concept of injecting yourself in a truthful and honest way within like your own community. But similar to Giselle, I set up a Reddit, or I have a subreddit for SEO jobs. And I happened to notice that SEO jobs previously was like unmoderated and nothing had been posted for like 2 years. So I was fortunate enough to be able to go through and learn the process of like how you can take over a subreddit that is not being used. And I'm just shocked. Like literally, I bet Reddit is probably like fourth or fifth on sources of traffic to my site. But just the engagement and people there, it's just a reminder that when you can like nail these other sources of where your people are at, you don't really care if your Google traffic goes down by 15%. I mean, literally, I mean, SEO jobs is probably not a good example, but the investment in an exact match domain every single month, give or take 5 percentage points, 50% is direct traffic. And that's because all I have to do is say SEOjobs.com. You don't forget it. You may purposely not go there or not suggest it because you think Nick's a jerk or, you know, LinkedIn is still better, but you don't forget. And that is a whole different type of marketing than, you know, if you comb through my site, you know, Jeremy, there's probably 5 things you could find in 12 seconds. So you'd be like, Nick, you know better. Like, you got to do this. But SEO is not my first priority for that site. It's doing real marketing. When I help the industry actually find jobs and I connect these hiring managers to people that are, you know, good, they have quality, I can't do anything else in a marketing world to get more value than that. Because you telling your friend that you had a good experience on my site, again, I can run all the ads I want. I can get those clicks.
Yeah.
But I need Jeremy and Jeremy's buddy and that person's buddy to hear, yo, did you know that we finally have a place like for us, you know, to hire? So it just, I think that's just very validating for what you're saying. The last thing I want to say I should have started is I want to share just like a quick story that I think will really validate what you were saying about like you have to address root issues versus trying to layer on tactics to kind of make up for, you know, bad reputation. I had one client in the sleep space, and this individual was super smart. Like, they got their exact match domain, and, you know, they basically dominated Google for the last 15 years because of that domain and basic on-page optimization. And then as Google started kind of using these other aspects, you know, in their rankings, they dropped. Now, not off of like the first page, but it's like instead of being number one for everything, they'd be, say, 3, 4, 5. So noticeable amount of traffic and revenue lost. They brought me in and I gave the CEO the kudos, like, great domain pickup, like everything you guys are doing fine. But I was just kind of explaining how things are different. And he was so adamant that there was a silver bullet to this issue, like a technical issue, a server issue, or something like that. I had to stop him because he would not listen to me. So just like you and I are now, we jumped on a call. I opened up Google in incognito because I didn't want him to talk about personalized results. You know, if that's even a thing, it's like, you never know anymore. But I put in, he goes, I have ranked number one for this product name for like 20 years. He's like, I've never been number two. I go, oh, okay. So let's type it in, product name. And then I scroll down. He's not number one. He's not number two. He's not number three. He's like in that 4 or 5. Now, not to be confused with 6, 7. But but what was interesting is now for that particular query, like Mayo Clinic was ranking one, and then John Hopkins was like number two, but that was an informational solution. So I explained to him how one and two isn't even an option for you.
Yeah.
And then I scrolled down, and this was the part where he really decided he didn't like me anymore. because there was Amazon, and then one of his biggest competitors, three products stacked on top of each other. He's at the bottom. And I just told this individual, I said, let's look at this as a user. I was like, they're both cheaper than you are. You charge for shipping. They don't. And you have a 10% restocking fee for returns. And they don't have that. So I got a little bit aggressive and I was just like, why the fuck would Google rank you over these other guys? Like, you, there's just no reason. It's the same product. They're cheaper. They essentially have better user experience and customer support. Like, it just seemed really, he really didn't like it. But at the same time, it's like you could tell that he couldn't fight it. And all that to be said, you know, he made some radical decisions in deciding that SEO is dead. Let me go, let his in-house team go. But, you know, we can't all make great decisions. But that is what gets me a little bit excited about the direction Google is going in, simply because of what I mentioned before. My hope is always that SEO is more of a reflection of building a really good business. And it brings us to this point that we've never had to deal with before. SEO was always supposed to be this, like, you know, everybody on the same playing field level. We all stood a chance. And now SEO, AI optimization, it just isn't for everybody. And it's our job to tell people that. I tell people that, you know, our leads, I don't think you're going to get the value that you're looking for from this without major investments and major, you know, commitments. And too many SEOs are willing to just sign everything and anything. So
anyway. I think it's about, you know, helping businesses make better business decisions, you know, both with like clarity on what the data actually means. You know, the Mark Williams Cook made a great post about the difference between precision and accuracy and how they're co-independent. But it's also like fundamentals. You know, SEOs are in a great position to point out the fact that, you know, you say that you want more leads, but, you know, I think it was Ignavito, Jake Malendi, he said they did a study, 68% of businesses never responded within 24 hours with an inquiry to their business. 68% didn't respond in 24 hours. And I think it was like 1,800 businesses that they surveyed, you know, manually. Like, that's the type of like, like a duh moment, but it's also like, you know, it's been so par for the course of like, you know, SEO is being shoved to the outside. Now we're at the big boy table of like, hey, we know what's going on. We can bring this wisdom. We need better speed to lead. Let's do that. And, you know, in this moment where if traffic is shutting down from other sources, how can we make the traffic that we get more valuable? Let's fix our conversion rates. Oh, hey, it takes 6 seconds to load the site. Let's fix that. Like, there's the UX, UI, there's a confluence for us there. There's getting access just to the CRM to see what happens with these leads afterwards. Are you tied in? Have you had a conversation with customer support? What are they complaining about that they need a whole customer support department about? Your job should be to, like, part of your savings for any sizable organization that's large enough to need a customer support team is reducing the amount of spend you need for your customer support, as well as like your ability to earn gold stars from that support by drafting articles that solve the functional problems or the functional secondary questions that arise from your particular problem. If you're a SaaS, that's, you know, walkthroughs, tutorials with accurate screenshots, accurate videos, because if you watch a walkthrough video and the UX changed, you know, 6 months ago, that video is unused, is actually worse than unusable. It's actively anti-helpful. And we want to be...
There's a couple tools that I use online where I'm looking for that walkthrough, and it's like, the UI is so completely different. You know, it's like, you know, Canva is one of them. I was like, I was trying to figure out, how do I make this feature work? And I was like, great, there's a YouTube video. I kind of scroll halfway, and it's like, it's different. Okay.
Yeah, don't make another AI slop article make a great workflow, like an SOP. What can they do with this? And that's a fantastic, that's niching down. That's, you can make that specific to the industry. Like there's so many things, like we're just hanging up our hat because we can't, you know, just write 4 blog posts a month and buy some links and do SEO anymore. Well, too bad. Let's grow up. Like, we got to be better. We need, there's so much opportunity to help these businesses. Let's do it.
Jeremy, I think you will agree with this, but I'd love your opinion both on two things. Like, one, I think the industry itself, including me, like, we have to take ownership of, like, a lot of what we're fighting right now is because we kind of pitched SEO as a after the matter type solution. And we constantly were able to get ROI from less budget, less resources, less everything than what would be ideal. So it's like now when we come back and say, okay, SEO is a reflection of how you run your business and, you know, you need to change your customer service at this and this and this point, they look at us and go, what does that have to do with SEO? Like it, and they don't see it now because historically it was, Jeremy would say, jump on your title tags. Nick would say, these are the right redirects. You know, we're going to do X, Y, Z. And they all just kind of lived independently on their own island and it worked. Yeah. But Jeremy, I'd be curious, like, what do you think about this statement? Something along the lines of like, if your recommendation solely benefits a company for Google, it's probably not worth prioritizing.
Ooh, that's hard to hear. I mean, I grew up in the golden age of SEO.
I was thinking this while you were talking. I was like, oh, I got to ask him.
No, definitely. I think it is... It's the end of the monopoly. And we had a Wild West period when I started 2007, you know, to until the browser wars ended. You know, if anybody knows what that even means, like Chrome won, Netflix died, Internet Explorer died. There is, you know, like people don't think about the browser on Macintosh, but it's Safari, you know, it is subservient. You know, and but when Google won the browser wars, they became so dominant that, you know, we just signed ourselves up to be Google optimizers. That's the monopoly is breaking up.
Absolutely.
And part of it is self-inflicted wounds. A part of it's part hubris. The other is just the nature of the beast and the mechanisms and the growth of technology can't be, you know,
evolution,
totally contained. You know, things. So yeah, you do need to think about the impact of what you're doing needs to be more than just Google. It can't not be a part of the function, but you need to think through, and it's a great framework to ensure that we don't become, you know, blog pushers again. Like, we have to become strategic. We with artificial intelligence, we have to. I do worry about the future of what happens with an entire generation of SEOs that's undercut and can't get those entry level roles when, you know, when the stock of information dries up. Like, there's going to be a without entry level people pushing buttons and you know, earning their stakes and making mistakes, then the we're going to have more calcified old hands, and we're not going to stick around in this industry forever. I know plenty of SEOs that have moved on to greener pastures. Plenty of SEOs, just SEOs. The Unscripted SEO podcast is because Mark Preston moved out of SEO exclusively, and he handed the keys over to me and said, hey, I hope you can make it more out of it than I did. So I do kind of worry a little bit for the future, but I'm very glad to have this conversation with you, and SEOjobs.com stands out as a fantastic industry talking point, something we did for ourselves. Thank you. I've gotten a job through there, so hats off. I'll make sure that the transcript of this recording, this podcast, is available on Unscripted SEO, SEOarcade.com, Jeremy Rivera SEO. I'll hand over some clips and content for your site as well. But I'm really appreciative of you've taken the time to have this combo.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, iron sharpens iron, and I can't reiterate enough the points I made at the very beginning. It's just simply, we have to be critical thinkers. We have to take risks. We have to make mistakes, and we have to learn from it. Because if there's anything we've learned from AI, is if you can summarize what you're doing in bullet points, you're replaceable. Yep, that's it. But I also think that there's going to be a fairly big exodus from SEO this year, going into even next year, because SEO is no longer like the easy money. And a lot of people have already tasted the like six-figure salary for executing the checklist. And when they see what is actually required and needed, they're gonna nope. They're going to opt out. So I hope so. It'll make us more in need.
Yes, I think real SEO talent is more in need. I think there will be a thinning of the herd, definitely. But hopefully it's not me.
You and
I
me
don't
both.
See myself bouncing out.
Nope. One day at a time. And, you know, it's just, we got to do right by our customers. We have to make sure that we're not just relying on the tactics. We have to be upfront, communicate.
Solid. Thank you so much, Nick.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.